Hello everyone, and we're back with a new episode on the new series that will help new students decide which university they want to go. And this time we have another friend of mine who is Nick Zhang, who studies in Dartmouth College.
Hi everyone, how's it going? So my name is Nicholas and I've been studying at Dartmouth since fall 2020, and Dartmouth's a liberal arts college with about 4,500 people. It's in Hanover, New Hampshire, which is up in the northeast in New England.
And what are you studying right now?
So because it's a liberal arts school, I'm kind of doing whatever courses I'd like. So essentially, what the school requires you to do is you have to graduate with 35 credits. So those 35 credits can go wherever you'd like, so long as you have a major. So let's say I want to major in economics, right? So I'm going to have to take 12 classes in economics, and yes. 35 minus 12, my other classes can be in whatever I'd like it to be in.
Okay.
So, yeah.
I want to start step by step. So we'll start through the application, how you did it, what any tips you could give us, and then we go through your first day, your life, your social life, the study work, etc., and then we'll end with a few ratings that you will give us about the different aspects of your college life.
So
let's start from the application. How did it go? Like, what did you do to apply to Dartmouth? Did you have to write anything? Did you have to do any tests? Tell us more about it.
So Dartmouth, first and foremost, so it's a liberal arts college, but it's also an Ivy League school. So that means it's inherently slightly more competitive than its counterparts. So we're talking about like a 7% acceptance rate. So I had to take you have to take either the SAT or the ACT. And if you're an international student, you don't have to take the SAT subject test. But if you're a domestic student, one or two SAT subject tests would be recommended. Nevertheless, although I'm international, I still ended up taking world history and maths too. So that's what I had for there. And I also, what's unique about Dartmouth and what makes Dartmouth such a good community is that it's the only school that requires a recommendation letter from a friend. So that means that you can't, so to speak, just be a nerd and be somebody who you can't be somebody who's just liked by three of your teachers, by your English teacher, your math teacher, and your guidance counselor. You actually have to be a liked member of your community, somebody who socializes well, because that's part of the Dartmouth culture. So you'd have a friend, you'd have a friend write you a recommendation letter talking about your social aspect, which is quite interesting. Obviously, you also have to choose wisely because your best friend may not be the best writer. And so in that aspect, there might be several factors that you have to reconcile.
And how did you make that decision?
So the way I made the decision really was quite simple. It was between my two good friends, Milana and Ted, and Milana was more free. She had more free time, so she just helped me to write it. And obviously, because it's a peer rec, it's not entirely formal. She can get external help can get editing help from other people. Not from me, obviously, so I'm not technically supposed to have seen it. Other important aspects about the application obviously include your supplemental essay. So Dartmouth has like several questions that you'd have to write essays about. So it's like why Dartmouth and like intellectual aspects. And yes. So for my why Dartmouth essay, I actually wrote a poem. And the reason I wrote a poem was because, well, first of all, to understand why I wrote a poem, you also have to understand like the American vibe of universities is very different from Europe. So it's a very holistic, very friendly vibe, which is why a friend recommendation letter would make sense. Whereas a friend recommendation letter for, like, for example, LSC would sound kind of absurd.
Okay. Yeah.
Right. So I wrote a poem because I know Dartmouth is very big on poetry, because former students included like Robert Frost and Dr. Seuss. So
yeah. So it involves a lot of research, right?
Yes. So there's a huge research component. You have to like look into the theme of the university. You have to look at the feel. And what you want to do is essentially match that feel. So whatever vibe that school is giving off, you want to match that vibe with what you're saying. Because it's not just about grades, it's also about like your fit. So so you can be like a perfect SAT scorer, but if you don't fit with a certain school, you're not gonna get in.
It's not all about academic achievements.
Yeah, no, it's not all about academics at all in the US.
I know you, so like I know you're great from the academic aspects, but you also done something else outside of your life. Could you tell us outside of the academic aspects, could you tell us more about that side of your life? Like, what did you do?
Okay, yeah, sure. So essentially what I did was, so amongst other things, so at school we had CAS for the IB, Creativity Activity Service, and so for that I did like squash. I founded the debate club, and I leaded MUN and the magazine. But what was more a defining experience for me that helped create the spike that helped me get entrance into, I think, 3 or 4 Ivy Leagues, was that I leaded research on a group of Jews in China, and I ended up writing and authoring a book on it. It was called Jews in China, A History of Struggle. And this book received was quite well acclaimed and quite well received by the world of academia. So I was invited to make speeches at Oxford University, the University of Pennsylvania, and several other educational conferences. And I know that, like, and I think it's important to be passionate about the projects that you do, because I know that a lot of people start like somewhat half-assed extracurricular activities that they just stop the moment they get to college, but my Chinese Jews project is something that I've still been doing, and that's the same for a lot of people who actually get in. So actually try to be passionate about your projects, because a lot of the times the admissions office can see right through whatever game you're trying to play.
So if you have any, if you could give one tip to the students who are applying right now for universities in America in a sentence, what would you say?
Find a main theme and link all of your extracurriculars to this one theme with a different idea. So essentially what you'd like to do isn't just, for example, do a bunch of good things. You wanna when you write about them in your essay, you wanna make sure all of these good things line up into one theme. And the way, for example, you can do that is like, if you're doing debate and you're doing magazine and you're interested in, for example, environmental sciences, try to incorporate aspects of environmental sciences into debate, into magazine. So you can talk about how magazine and debate help support your journey in environmental sciences, so that you have a spike and a general theme, and you're an environmental sciences person, and the university will therefore more likely take you.
Yeah, perfect. Thank you very much. And congrats again for everything you've done, and like, of course, entering in one of the greatest universities in the world. Now let's talk about the first emotion, the first day. What did you do? And then we'll talk more about the academic life, the social, and then the social life. How did they how did they treat you? How was it like? I know that it's a big school, right?
So actually, comparatively speaking, so we're the smallest Ivy League. So for example, University of Pennsylvania, they have 20,000 undergraduates. Dartmouth only has 4,500. So we're the small, so we're actually not that big, relatively speaking. But, and the way school started was a bit different for us because of COVID-19. Typically, essentially because Dartmouth is a very outdoorsy school, before school starts, there's 10 days of like orientation, which involves camping, climbing, hiking, etc., etc. I wasn't able to experience that, and neither was the class of 2024 because obviously COVID. So once we got there, actually, once we arrived at school, we technically were in quarantine for 14 days and weren't supposed to meet anybody else. Now, I'm not going to go ahead and like just say what rules I did follow and I didn't.
I can just say that
despite these rules, a lot of people were able to have fun and socialize, obviously within reason. And I think that different traditions and different memories were brought up in a certain way, so that I don't think it's necessarily that COVID necessarily gave us a worse college experience. I just think it gave us a different and even more memorable experience. We just had to stay in our rooms, but for the first 2 weeks, but after a while the sort of adversity brought us all closer together.
Nice, really nice. Yeah, COVID, it seems the social life in particular for first year student is difficult when you are in a COVID context, and I'm happy for you. It is difficult for all of us, but we'll manage it through. And what about the teaching? What's the teaching structure? Do you have lectures? How many lectures do you have in a week? Do you have a tutor or someone that follows you, or classes?
So we have 12 terms in our time at Dartmouth. And as I mentioned just now, we need 35 credits to graduate. So that's about three courses per term, except for one term where you only have to take two. So every term I've been taking three courses, and the courses sort of like can reflect a variety of aspects. So this term I've taken economic statistics, Jewish studies, so, and Chinese. And so this is quite like a wide range. And the way the courses work is like, we have personal advisor tutors. So so they would advise you on what you, like the courses you should do, and they sort of like a mentor for you. And when it comes to classes, the class structures are very different. And I'm not sure, I can't say that I'm too familiar with how classes work at Dartmouth, because all of mine has been sort of online Khan Academy style, right? But in theory, in general, without COVID, the way it should work is that there are two types of classes. You have lecture-based classes and you have seminar-based classes. So lecture-based classes are like bigger classes where there's like, where you're just learning with like 100 other people. And seminar-based classes are slightly smaller. Maybe you have a 15 people class, 5 people class, and you have direct discussion with the professor. So ideally what you want to do is you want to have at least one small class every term, so you can interact with your professor, get research opportunities, and a good recommendation letter for when you're applying for a job.
Okay. Yeah, so it's, you already think about the future, a future career in the first year.
Yeah.
And what about the social life? I know you already told me something about that. You managed to have a social life despite COVID. But what's it like? Did you expect it like that, or did you expect something else? What did you?
So far it's been like, so far my friends. So one of the guidelines is you can be in groups larger than 9 and whatever. So that's not really the be all and end all, because when really do you hang out in groups that are 10 people and above?
Yeah, you're right.
So
yeah.
The golden amount is like 5-6 people, or like 3 sometimes. So in that capacity, it hasn't really been an issue. Although, some students have been kicked off for violating COVID regulations, like parties and whatnot, but otherwise it's just been quite a chill campus. It's been quite quiet because only half of the undergraduates are allowed back on campus at once, which means it's quite difficult for me to meet upperclassmen because I'm a first year and all the second years are off campus. But the problem is the second years are typically most able to empathize with you because they're closest to you in age and they had just been in your position. So in that regard, there's a bit of a hump.
Mm-hmm. And what's the campus like? So you have your main social life is in campus or is in the city where the university is based? What's the campus like?
So Dartmouth is in a town that has only 13,000 people. It's all the way in New Hampshire, and it doesn't sound very appealing because it's just surrounded by mountains and trees, but that's why I chose it rather than like Columbia or some other city-based uni, so like UCL, because for now, because I know that in the future I would want to live in a city, and I know that I would never voluntarily want to live so far in the countryside. So this is my one chance to experience a life as such. So essentially the campus life, Dartmouth stereotypes into two different types. So you have outdoorsy people who like go hiking and whatever. So that's like, and Dartmouth has a lot of professional Olympic skiers because we have like a ski track at Dartmouth. And the second group, and Dartmouth is very big on fraternity life. So the Greek system. So about 70% of students are either in a frat or a sorority. And this is huge. So there's a famous movie called Animal House. It was actually based on Dartmouth's Greek life. And it's just, so much of it is about like drinking and partying. So beer pong was actually invented at Dartmouth. So all of these things within like reason. But if you're not interested in drinking and like whatnot, because I'm not that much of a heavy drinker, you still have a social, you still have a place in the social life because you can just still hang out with people anyways. And you can still like, just meet other people because there's always going to be people who are similar to you.
Yeah, that's amazing. Yeah, I think it's one of the key choices is about the social life. I just want to know, is there anything that you really like about Dartmouth, and is there anything that you might not like or that you were not impressed about?
Okay, so one thing I really like was the community was a lot stronger than I thought. So, and I think the reason for this is because the selection process of the peer recommendation letter means that you have the people who get into Dartmouth are not just good and smart people, but they're people who make good friends. So it's extremely easy to make friends at Dartmouth. It is a more down-to-earth vibe than the other Ivy League, so people are more chill, and people are like, it's more like, rather than like, I want to have a debate with you. So I've seen this thing, it's like, if you go to Harvard, you have a debate with another student. If you go to Dartmouth, you have a beer with another student. Of course, debates are nice, but in the long term, you kind of want to just like sit down and chill. So honestly, I've become so much more chill since I've gotten to Dartmouth. One thing that I'm not entirely impressed with is that, I think this term, I don't think this administration has been handling COVID very well, because I think a lot of the guidelines are overly strict. I'm not going to go into detail of that. Another thing that I think might be a bit annoying is that, so I personally don't think this because I will be joining a frat, but I've heard that some students don't like the Greek life. So if you're not happy with Greek life and don't vibe with it, it's Dartmouth might just not be the right choice of school for you.
Yeah, so some of us might not know what's Greek life. Can you explain it in a few sentences?
So Greek life is essentially fraternities and sororities, and fraternities are brotherhoods. So basically a bunch of friends, a bunch of guys, maybe 80 in number, 100 guys living together, a brotherhood. Mm-hmm. And What you do essentially is if you want to get into the brotherhood, they pick you. And once they pick you, there's this process called hazing. And hazing is very famous. It's a famous concept. You see it in The Social Network by of Mark Zuckerberg's Facebook. It's essentially where they make you do hard stuff
in terms of
attention. So that might be running across the snow naked. That might be like, I don't know, drinking ton of beers. That might be like certain things. So that's what the hazing process, and it's supposed, or like just washing dishes for a few days, like that. It's supposed to be hard so that you like develop a sense of loyalty to the brotherhood, or at least to show that you're loyal to the brotherhood. Because if you're not loyal to the brotherhood, and if you don't really want to join, you wouldn't be willing to do the things that.
Yeah.
So then once you're part of the brotherhood, it's kind of like a relationship that's so strong that lasts until you die. And it's not just a friendship group, it's also an important group in networking. So essentially the way it works is, let's say I'm in this brotherhood, let's say I'm in a certain brotherhood and I'm looking for a job in investment banking. Because I'm in this brotherhood, maybe somebody in investment banking who was in this brotherhood 10 years ago can give me a job, right?
Okay.
So that's the system. It's like a system of networking and helping people who are also in your...
Oh, okay. Did you join any fraternity or brotherhood yet?
So I haven't yet, because joining fraternities are only open for second years at Dartmouth.
Okay.
So I'll be trying to join next year. But I don't think people realize how big of an impact being in a fraternity is, because the fraternity culture matches the Wall Street culture, which means that a lot of fraternity guys can thrive in Wall Street. I think there's a statistic that shows 71% of Fortune 500 company CEOs were once in a frat. So, so it's worth looking into.
Yeah, that's super cool. I didn't know that. So there must be, it must involve, is it based on different, there are different frater, like how do they differ, the brotherhoods? Is there any kind of, they all like something particular, or they all follow some movements, or what how do they differ between brotherhoods?
Okay, so the brotherhoods differ in terms of culture, like very, very largely. So there are fraternities that are for sports. So at my school, TDX is for rugby and lacrosse. GDX is for American football. And then there's some certain things. So there are frats that are more diverse. There are frats for more wealthy kids. There's frats for the squash kids, frats for the golf. Uh-huh. it's kind of like divided in that sense, but frats at Dartmouth are all quite inclusive, so no matter where you go, you'll find a place. So actually, I'll just send you in the chat, there's this link. I just did a quick search. So 85% of Fortune 500 CEOs, and all except for two presidents, and 76% of US senators belong to sororities or fraternities.
So, and do they belong for life, or does it end?
Yeah, essentially, once you join it, you kind of are like that for life. You're part of that community for life.
So basically, whoever wants to apply for an American university, it is suggested, like you suggest, that they join a sisterhood or a brotherhood.
I think that it's an enjoyable system, and it's also a system that can help you survive in like the corporate world.
Okay, perfect. Because
corporate world in the US is less about grades and how smart you are, and more about how sociable and how likable you are.
Okay, yeah. Okay, so it's all about charisma.
Yeah, a lot of it is.
Yeah, and now I just want to move on and go through a part that I invented myself. I don't know if it works, I don't know if it will be liked, but let's hope it works, where you rate out of 10 the different aspects of the life, if you want to do that, if you are able to do that.
Yeah. Okay.
So let's go through the professors, for example. So the teachers, the staff that teaches you in Dartmouth College. Do you how would you rate them out of 10 if you want to do that?
So this is one of the strongest parts of Dartmouth, so I'm going to give it a 9. But I just don't like giving 10s. It's just like...
Yeah. Can I ask you why 9?
Well, the reason it's 9 is because the professors here actually care about you a lot because it's a small liberal arts college. I think Dartmouth is one of the best schools for undergraduate teaching because teachers give you a lot of... Because there's so little grad students, teachers give undergraduate students the research opportunities that would typically go to grad students.
Oh, okay.
And so I've developed a very close connection with my professors. So one of my professors, she asks me how my weekend was, or like outside of class time, like, and it's just a very warm vibe. And Dartmouth also has this system where you can take your professors out for a meal in any restaurant in town, and Dartmouth will subsidize you to do so, so that you can sometimes you just see professors eating with students in town, and
wow,
it's just a good vibe.
Okay, so there is a great integration between students and professors. Okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
And what about the campus? How would you rate it? You already told us that it's a great campus, but like, how would you rate it?
Like the campus life or the physical building?
The physical building, the campus, the facilities.
Okay, so I'm not gonna lie. So I think the facilities, top notch. I'll also give it a 9. But the appearance of the buildings, I'm a bit biased in the sense that I'm gonna have to give it a 7. I think the trees are beautiful, the spring foliage is beautiful. But honestly, having lived in Oxford, which I think is one of the most beautiful college towns in the world, it's very hard to say, it's very hard to go and say, this building at Dartmouth is beautiful, when in reality, it wouldn't fare very well against Christ Church or Magdalen College. It just isn't as pretty as Oxford, I don't think.
So in terms of facilities and service, it's great, but as aspects and looks, it's okay. Okay, and what about the social life? How would you rate it out of 10? Just consider also COVID if you want, in general.
Social life, I'd give it like a 10, really.
A 10, okay. Yeah. That's great. Because of the old brotherhoods and there are sisterhoods, right?
Yeah, they're called sororities. Although they're less like meritocratic and less wealthy because they're all a bit newer.
Okay. And now that I think this part is finished. What about I have a last question for you, and then we can conclude the interview. It's more about what's a typical day of a Dartmouth college student. Could you give us a full schedule of one of your general days?
Okay. Yeah.
And so, like, for example, what do you do on a Tuesday?
So interesting thing is, like, on Tuesday, Dartmouth is very big on languages. So actually, if you just quick disclaimer, if you want to go to the CIA, Dartmouth is a great place to go to because we have a strong language program. And that means if you're taking a language, you have a class in that language every day that week. And you have it in the you have training sessions in the afternoon as well. So I would wake up at 9 o'clock, have Chinese class for an hour, and then I'd have like an hour to study, and then I'd do economics class for an hour, and then lunchtime, and then break for another hour or a work or whatever, and then I have my Jewish studies class, and then right after my Jewish studies class, I'd maybe have 2 hours or an hour and a half of rugby training. After that, I'd have an early dinner. And after early dinner, I might have a Chinese training session. And so that brings me to around 7 o'clock in the evening.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe I'd work an hour until like 8. And that gives me the rest of the night to just hang out with friends.
Okay. And what's rugby training that you mentioned?
Rugby.
Rugby. Okay, yeah, sorry. How is rugby in an Ivy League? University. I know the Ivy League is mainly based on football, American football, but how is it rugby?
Okay, so rugby at Dartmouth is a bit unfair because Dartmouth has a very strong rugby team. So I'm talking like we're champions in the Ivy League for 15 years in a row.
Mm-hmm.
Because our school just cares about rugby a little bit more than other schools. So for example, two things. The head coach of the US national rugby team is a Dartmouth kid and used to play at Dartmouth. And the head coach of the captain of the US rugby team is also a Dartmouth student.
So, okay. So
we're just a very rugby based school.
Mm-hmm.
So that's quite so we have a very big culture in that. I'll just send you links to that.
So
rugby's, it's great. The training isn't very tough. It's open to beginners. It's very good by American standards. So we're national champions and quite often. But by European standards and by British standards, we're actually quite crap, I think. It's just because Americans aren't big on rugby is why we're pretty good. Although in terms, we're not that great.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. And congrats again for being a Dartmouth student and for being a rugby team. Apparently, it's one of the greatest in America. And good luck with everything.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Okay.